Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy in a gold Rolls Royce, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Man United lose again and Chelsea win again. It's Thursday, 5th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Junkyard Doggleson.
Bit of like shy FX going on there. Huggity diggity hoo hoo hoo, Peter. Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Or what's his name? Who featured on Dirty by Christina Aguilera?
Redman. He does great barking, doesn't he?
He does.
Redman do that song with Limp Bizkit? Where they're on the ceiling in the video? Or is it another member?
No, that was outfit? Lionel Richie. I think.
Oh, Marcus, you've done me again.
Oh, I have indeed. Big news, ladies and gentlemen, coming from Ramble HQ. Pete Dolson has bought himself a scooter.
I have, yeah. Watch
scooter!
Out.
Scooter!
Give me barbecue, beer and freedom, people. I'm on the roads.
This is massive. And you can't even drive.
No. That's what a couple of the 17-year-olds who also take the CBD test said. How old are you? Why aren't you driving a car?
Yeah.
Shut up, you little tits. Hey,
easy. We were only talking about scooter the other day. Little would we know it'd be a prophetic word that Pete Donaldson's turning up today.
I know, right?
And a scooter's arriving.
Watch out. Looking forward to nestling underneath that front wheel of a bus. My head going pop like a watermelon.
You say that, but every time this week.
Sweet release of death, Andy. Finally, I have reached my destiny. Bring forth the Pirelli upon one's head.
You said it was a death trap and you were bloody right. That's what it says on the tin.
Having said that, every time we've said scooter this week, I have thought, well, you know, 6 million record buyers worldwide can't be wrong,
look,
can they?
What was their one that they released about the lockdown or something?
He's not in the Van Morrison camp as well.
No. I think they were very pro. Look after yourselves.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Scooter knows. He knows.
What was it? FCK 2020 is the name. But the lyrics were, I don't give a penny, fuck 2020. They're trying to find something. I don't give a penny. Yeah. Is that saying in Europe?
Yeah, but this is
a penny.
But this is when, you know, English is like someone's third or fourth language.
Yeah, but it's not.
And credit to them, because I struggle with one language. So let me make that absolutely clear. But when they just sort of rhyme words, like as we said on How Much Is the Fifth? How Much Is the Fifth? Someone's got to plead the fifth in a minute by the sounds of things. How Much Is the Fish? You know, every hour, every minute, every hour, find the power, take a shower. You know, is that kind of thing. But ladies and gentlemen, we digress. Let us talk about Istanbul Başakşehir 2, Manchester United 1. I mean, we can only talk about what happened, can't we, gentlemen? We're not anti-Manchester United. That's why we love Vish, our resident Manchester United fan. He's not here, of course.
Jury's out on Marcus, though.
Well, what, Rashford? I found it quite interesting that when Robin van Persie said, in my time at Manchester United, Sir Alex Ferguson said, I don't mind losing as long as my team is not running less than the opponent. And then Demba Ba escaped the Manchester United.
They're running just about as much, but they're just giving Demba Ba, a 35-year-old footballer, who, what I liked about that, a bit of a head start. What I like about that is that...
He needed all of that head start.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, you know, we've not done our duties, that's my responsibility. You know, people, players forgot to get back with the players they're playing against and marking. And Demba Ba snuck in behind us.
Snuck in.
What a little 6'2" sneak.
Would you describe?
Oh, that guy should go and play for Vissel Kobe because he's a bloody ninja. How much he sneaked. What a little sneak. Sneaky Demba Ba, covered in syrup.
He's not a set of car keys, is he? Demba Ba, he's never snuck in anywhere. Half the field.
Demba Ba's never snuck in anywhere.
Pete, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating when they gave him more than half the field.
I unconditionally love Demba Ba. He's honestly one of my favourite footballers.
Sing the song. Demba Ba
ba ba ba ba. Demba Ba 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 ba. Demba Ba 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 ba.
Was that the noise that was going through Matic's mind as he was going? He's like, come on, a little bit further.
I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but why have I got Paul Johnson running through my head? The thing is with him, he's not just a 35-year-old, and he's still a very accomplished player.
He took it very well.
There's no doubt about that. He can do more than just score goals, as befits someone who started out as a midfielder. Mm. But he is a 35-year-old who's had a few serious injuries as well. And, you know, he's, I think, the only person in Premier League history to fail a medical at Stoke.
Wow. What?
Did he have a training session before the medical? Yeah, just stick him in the training. He'll be fine. That was a mistake.
It's an extraordinary mistake.
Yeah. Michael Owen passed that.
I also once did, for 442, I once did an interview with Demba Ba.
Oh, yeah.
He's great company. And I also had to do, I received a message late on saying, we're doing something about footballers' diets.
Right.
And we want to know what sort of food they eat to get themselves in the zone. And he said, I asked him about this, and he said, chicken yassa. It's harks back to my Senegalese heritage.
Chicken yassa?
Well, it's a sort of, I think it's cooked quite a thick sauce.
Okay. Right.
And anyway, he said, my mum does an incredible chicken yassa. And he goes, once you eat that, you feel on top of the world. And I said, so that gets you in the zone for match? And he goes, oh, God, no, you can't move for like 4 hours afterwards.
You have to have a lie down.
I remember being in Ghana for the 2008 Africa Cup of Nations. And the group I was with, we had some Nigerian guys with us, and they kept going on about the very stodgy, very carb-heavy,
country has a different name for
they
that.
They do. In Kenya, they have it Ugali.
Yeah. Ugali, yeah.
And in Nigeria, I think they called it Swallow.
Right.
I think that's what it was called. But anyway, forgive me if that's wide of the mark. But when we were watching some of the football, there was a couple of particular players. They were like, oh, yeah, he talks about his diet. He's a bit like Demba Ba. And they were like, yeah, it's all to do with what he eats. It's all to do with the Swallow and all the rest of it. And I remember one of the American guys, I was like, yes, it's got nothing to do with the training. It's just to do with this very stodgy potato field thing.
I didn't have it in Kenya where they obviously call it, is it Satsa in there? I always forget. But I had it. I think, oh, maybe Ugali.
It's like a mound of sort of mashed potato. It's good.
Very taut kind of thing. Like a maize kind of. Porridge, but really dry.
Yes, you've got to do exercise within half an hour after you've had it. Otherwise,
I put loads of Tabasco on it, and the guy's like, "I've never seen anyone put Tabasco on it." I was like,
offending all.
It tastes of nothing. I'm sorry, it does taste of nothing. That's why I put Tabasco. It's delicious with Tabasco.
Yeah, but that's why you have the chicken yassa with the sauce. You see,
beautiful.
All together, it's a bit like, you know, if you just have potatoes on their own, sometimes it'd be a bit boring.
Very boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're all guilty of it. Everywhere.
We haven't for lunch today, Marcus.
Well, I'm going to see Denver Bar. Well, the sounds of it.
That's an excellent idea. He did have an all-round excellent game. I thought, of course, his dummy for the second goal.
Oh,
The Edin Visca goal was very, very nice indeed.
And Peter Drury had on the comms had warned us about him, because saying he had a... What did he say when he took a shot and it went over? He said, oh, he's got a great straight. He's got a very pure shot or something like that.
Oh, did he?
Because it came to be.
If you are getting one-on-one Denver Barr, I saw him for Newcastle, obviously. Mm. He's imperious. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
Like he's such an excellent finisher of the ball.
Well, the famous goal, or if you're from Liverpool, the infamous goal of Gerrard slipping and him nipping in, and it very much was a nipping in those days, and he was away. You know, you compare that goal to the one last night. There's similarities in which he had a lot of the field to run into.
I suppose that must have been the best bit for Manchester United fans in what was quite a trying evening. The fact where Denver Barr
reminded him of that.
Had a sighter in the second half and slipped over, and you're like, Denver Barr, slip.
Yeah.
Sure something's going on there.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I mean, it's a real... What's the word I'm looking for? It's a real marker for Istanbul Basaksehir here, this result, Andy, because they're a young club, as we mentioned before. And the thing that will warm the cockles of neutral football fans everywhere is that President...
And there are a lot of them in Turkey.
An awful lot. President Erdogan will be very happy with this result. If that's something we can't get behind, I don't know what we can.
If this doesn't pave the way for a January move for Mesut Ozil...
Oh, when is that going to happen? Just get on with it.
I don't know what will.
But I like the fact that I like Rio Ferdinand's infamous, in my opinion, the hold on Gary, because Gary Lineker was talking about the defending.
He does
hold on Gary. Just watch this. And he does a freeze frame. And the freeze frame is telling. Like, everyone's bunching up on each other. Mm-hmm. Not, like, there are players kind of not marking up. It just looked... It didn't even look schoolboy. It just looked like... What? Like, well, again, jazz football.
But if you did that on a Sunday morning, that type of defending, you would be looking around going, sorry, what?
There's no basics, is there? They win when a couple of players are playing to the level that they expect.
Yeah.
When they're, there's just no organisation.
Individual qualities, isn't it?
Well, Paul Scholes said, you know, he described the first goal as under-10s football. And he's right. I mean, I know Scholes can be a bit moany and so on, but he's absolutely spot on. It's comical, it's laughable what happened. They had no one within 20 yards of their centre-forward bar.
But you say this, and it always seems to come back to whether they lose, and we talked about this, I think, on the ramble last week.
You were wearing your beige trousers.
never happened.
One thing or another.
Never happened. But when you think, it always goes back to Solskjaer, doesn't it? With Manchester United, the idea that if they win, everyone who criticises him is wrong, and that's one in the eye for the narrative.
Yeah.
And you know, if they lose, you know, he's nowhere near worthy of being United coach, and he shouldn't be in the job. But the fact is, we know he can organise a team.
Yeah.
We know he can defensively organise a team, because he's proved that on a couple of occasions against big opposition. But I just wonder if here the pressure's on them a little bit more to be front foot against Champions League novices, against a team who played reasonably creditably in both of those first two games, but didn't score a goal, didn't get a point. And I wonder whether that's maybe where United are caught a bit between two stools, because when it's up to them to make the running, and I think this is what people find so difficult to reconcile with the current Manchester United, that they're a team that made the first 10 years of the Premier League by being front foot, by playing in a certain way, by projecting a certain image. Now, we know they're not that anymore.
But being very devastating on the counter as well.
But it seems that's true. But it seems that they can't be that anymore.
Well, you would think.
Can many teams be that anymore without shipping loads at the back?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when Liverpool get it right, they get it right.
When Leeds get it right, this is.
When Leeds get it right, Andy. Yes. Rio Ferdinand also tweeted, "We should never have sold Raphael. #facts.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Well, don't put the facts in.
Well, you've used that incorrectly.
Opinion.
They sold, exactly.
#opinion. Opinion.
We sold Raphael.
Hot take.
#fact.
Yes.
Yes.
We should never have sold him.
Yeah.
#opinion.
Yeah.
That's how that should have
if
played
A
out.
A plus B equals C.
Hold on, Pete. Okay. Because that's...
I mean, he was...
Hold on, Rio.
He was on his best behaviour for playing Manchester United, wasn't he?
Oh.
I mean, if you're him, you're printing off that Rio Ferdinand tweet. You're getting it laminated and you're sticking it on your wall today.
I'd say so.
Yeah,
you mentioned Raphael. He, you know, the way he sort of runs about as if he's like a fan with talent, as you quite rightly said.
Yes,
and
he played relatively responsibly.
He did, but he did dive in on the edge of the box at one point, didn't he? Was it for the Juan Mata free kick?
It's like Mourinho with like controversial statements. Even if he's trying not to, there's always going to be one that seeps out.
Yeah. I liked, speaking of Twitter, I very much liked Spurs fans posting the video of Cavani slightly clattering into a defender.
Yeah.
And they were basically saying, well, why isn't everyone up in arms? They're only up in arms because they spur, because Harry Kane is Spurs and stuff. I'll tell you what, because he didn't give a look, pile into someone who's already in the air and invert him in 180 degrees and land on their head. I love football. It gives fans like clear chances to show how level-headed and normal they are.
That's right.
And we never take it.
Yeah.
We always go, see the Arctic roll, I'm going to shove it down my pants and run in the street. I am mad. Everything's like shades of grey in the rest of your life. And then when it gets to football, there is a clear way that you can choose to look at things that makes you look not like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And you always choose the tribalistic crazy person tweet.
In fairness, I don't think Cavani's fit enough to do exactly what you described at the moment.
But I find it funny though, Pete.
He's always fit though. He's always got a base level of more fit than anyone you've ever met.
If football was played on horseback, he'd have 10 Premier League goals already. But that is not the case, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, Peter, what you've done there with your sort of picking up the Spurs fans there is now you have an anti-Spurs agenda.
Yeah.
You're the one with the agenda.
I do.
It's teams that wear white.
Yeah. It's not the people who are desperately waiting for a forward to have a slight foul or a slight, you know.
Can we have Lo Celso? I think he's very good.
Do you think so?
Can Newcastle have Lo Celso, please? Well, he's very good footballer. Thank you very much.
Get somebody rich to buy the club, and then Mourinho will come, and then he'll get Lo Celso.
Well, as soon as that fan letter goes to the Premier League.
Tell you what.
Oh, they've sent the fans have sent a letter. Oh, no.
Then you'll be in business.
No one does a letter writing campaign like the Brits.
Certainly not, Andy. Certainly not. We're famous for
it. I'm surprised they didn't invoke the Magna Carta.
The most famous of all the letters, of course.
Indeed. Next to Rosetta Stone.
Manchester United, I mean, the Champions League was meant to be where they were faring a little better, of course, because they have had impressive wins against PSG and RB Leipzig. And look, away trips in the Champions League, even to novices like this, Andy, these results can happen, but it is, of course, the manner of the performance we talked about Ferdinand and Scholes, you know, they're very, very upset about this result. And Scholes says, you know, about Solskjaer, he's got to try and get something out of these players that he's got. It's just how many more times are we going to hear this kind of thing? Mm. You know, as you said, Solskjaer's clearly a manager who's got ability to set up a team. In fact, I think, to be perfectly honest with you, I think if he was managing a side who was a bit further down the Premier League table, I know he was at Cardiff for a bit and he didn't sort of work out too well there. But I think, you know, a middling to sort of, you know, Premier League side, something like that.
The reality is we're probably going to never get the chance to find out.
No.
Not because he's Mourinho type level, but because when he gets fired from Manchester United, he's never getting a job in the Premier League ever again.
You probably think not, but you know, he can set up a team who can counter fairly well. And so he's not a bad manager. I think this people misunderstand it when some say, you know, well, he's not up to the task. It's Manchester United. There's so much pressure on this position. Mm. Not many people are up to the task or will be up to it. I mean, Louis van Gaal, you know, didn't really sort of fare too well there, and he's a highly decorated manager as well. So it's not actually the slight and the dig on Solskjaer himself that people sometimes interpret it to be.
No, I think you don't have to be all in on him either way. I think you can just say he's limited and they could get a better coach, which I don't think is particularly controversial. But you know what? There's obviously a lot of fallout over this because, as you say, it's a big deal every time Manchester United don't get a result. The reality is Leipzig have done them an absolutely massive favour by beating Paris Saint-Germain. So, you know, this group is still in United's hands. I think it's quite possible that they go out there, win the next three games, and everything's fine in a Champions League context. I'm not saying it will be fine in a Premier League context because I don't believe that to be the case. But I think the way they're set up to play means that they can actually do okay in the Champions League, as we said in the ramble yesterday.
Yeah, and the job will be a good one, you would think. Chelsea won 3-0 against Rennes, another clean sheet. Mondi has helped them to 5 consecutive clean sheets, which is Chelsea's first time in over a decade. 10 match unbeaten run. I mean, not that long ago, they can't give a clean sheet. I mean, change the keeper, perhaps some You know, things have gone in their favour.
Is
red
it
card
all
and so
about
on.
The keeper? Or would you say
Thiago Silva?
They signed a very good defender.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this recently. But the fact of the matter is the results are coming and Lampard is smiling. I mean, the game, from a neutral point of view, was ruined by that daft sending off. No need to give him a second yellow. But, I mean, who knows?
The thing is, what I don't get is this happens a lot. And I'm not taking the suggestion that, oh, but the continental representation of handball. You know, the point is...
It was on English soil, Andy.
That was terrifying. the point is
England, isn't it?
It's meant to be universal now, the interpretation of handball. Now, unfortunately, I mean, I don't think it's a penalty anyway. It shouldn't be a penalty anyway, no. Ideally. The minute it happens, you know it's going to be a penalty.
I know.
Which I think is part of the issue with the current rule and with everything being poured over so minutely. But the second booking belongs to the old interpretation of handball. Because what's very uncontroversial in, again, Central European football or continental European football is the idea that when someone handles in the penalty area, and it's a penalty, that it's a yellow card. That's quite uncontroversial because that, of course, is when you've got deliberate or undeliberate handball. Mm-hmm. And if you've got deliberate handball anywhere on the pitch, it's a yellow card. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about handball having to be deliberate, then it's an obvious yellow card. And that's something that we never really quite had in our heads over here.
Yeah.
Having said that, the interpretation has now moved away from deliberate versus undeliberate. So... how you can still get a booking for that?
Yeah, I mean,
it's extraordinary.
Well,
really.
Julien Stéphane, the Rennes boss, said unless the rule has changed and we weren't aware, I don't know why he's decided to give a handball for this.
Well, it came off Dalbert's thigh as well, didn't
it? Yeah,
sort of before it hit his hand,
sort of rolled up his body almost. You know?
Yeah, and he couldn't. What was it? There was no.
Well, he had time to get out of the way, Andy, didn't he? Hit off his foot. He knew the ball was around him.
He had whole milliseconds.
He'd have pulled off his arm like a crab.
Do crabs do that?
I've seen an animated gif of one doing that.
Oh, that was
really badass.
Well, I think that's conclusive. we saw Timo Werner taking two penalties.
Mm.
And we know where he's going to put the ball when he hits them. It just, you can't really dive before he's kicked a ball.
No.
And he's probably going to end up in the back of the net. Honestly, as soon as he stepped up, because I remember the... You know, it wasn't that long ago when he took his previous penalty, I forget against who, when he just lashed it to the goalkeeper's right. And you thought, he's going to do it again. Yep, there you go. And you think, well, he's going to do it again. He can't put it loaded. He's going to have to put it high. Oh, he has. Yeah right in the top corner.
I do think sometimes that if you've got a striker who can put the ball away like that in a penalty shootout, from a penalty spot, showing Turbo Timo, showing a clean pair of heels to the penalty spot, as he's famously does, do you not think that, like, you should be giving the penalty opportunities to your striker because it's a really easy attaboy. It's a really easy way to bolster a striker's confidence. A striker that's on 8 goals compared to 2 is
it's an easy way
beast,
for a striker to lose confidence though if he misses a penalty.
Exactly. And then that's when you take it off and all of the points I've made come null and void.
But I do see what you're saying. But I think with
I understand why they've done it, that's all.
Yeah. Unless
you've got Sergio Ramos in the team.
Yeah, very true.
And they just give
you've got a Ramos or a Kane who mix up where they put it. They put it high, the low, left, right.
Can I just say Ramos is a bloke who takes 6 Panenkas a season.
Yeah.
Whereas most people wouldn't take 6 Panenkas in a career.
Well, that was, who was the Uruguayan player in the 2010 World Cup who dinked his penalty against Ghana? Abreu or something?
Yes.
He was known for doing that.
Yes.
And when he stepped up against Ghana to take his a penalty in the famous or infamous, depending on where in the world you live, quarter final.
I think we'll say infamous.
Yeah, here you would, yeah. In Uruguay, glorious, fair play to them. When he stepped up to take it, I remember being with a friend of the show, Rupert Fryer, who was going, he's going to dink it. This is what he does. Like, he missed like 2 dink penalties and had the keeper had done a bit of homework.
But with all due respect to Sebastián Abreu, he's not on telly every week like Sergio Ramos.
No.
People don't watch Real Madrid every single week.
I know, but it's easier said than done, Andy. It's very true.
Yeah.
Well, Werner's on pens. I would say put Werner on pens until all the goalkeepers realise he's going to just smack it to my right. And then when that sort of seeped in, put back to Jorginho. And go, oh, yeah, what does he do? He does that. Oh, he's gone.
I thought you were going to say, and then by Troy Deeney.
You could do. We'll just smash
it down the middle for the next 10 games.
Petr Cech was talking about when Messi missed a penalty against him in the semi-final at the Nou Camp when Chelsea went all the way.
Yeah, and when he hit the crossbar. Yeah.
Petr Cech said recently about Messi, it took him a long time to score past me. 10 games, in fact, as I was an Arsenal player when he eventually did. He missed penalties, I made saves, he hit the post, but he never scored past me at Chelsea. It was a pleasure to keep a clean sheet against him.
He had to join Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was a lovely little weird...
That was in a better back line.
Yeah, an unintentional dig at Arsenal. But he said, because Messi hit the bar in that semi-final... When they won, when Torres scored the late goal,
gave Gary Neville
an orgasm, exactly. And he said, "I wonder what he was going to do." So I waited for him to hit it, and I went the right way. When Messi realised I was going the right way, he thought I must hit this high, and he hit the crossbar. And I thought, I think Messi was just going to smack it into the top corner and hit the crossbar. But fair play, Petr. Who am I to question your credentials,
Peter?
Indeed. Chelsea looking good, though, to qualify from the group. Them and Sevilla, because Sevilla had a quite an amazing turnaround against Krasnodar after going down to 10 men.
I imagine...
Yeah, it was an amazing one.
I imagine Ren, obviously, a newcomer to this season's Champions League. It's just like, oh, it's just tedious. That VAR penalty just sod off.
I know.
Don't even want to get involved.
No, we certainly don't. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they? Right. I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Get off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful Herne-based shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
Hold on, please, Gary.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble.
Hold on, please, Gary.
Everybody, right, let's do it.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, this show.
when I'm in the studio and Pete's here and I play that song, I get sort of quite excited. And I'm looking at him going, oh, I can see the architect of this masterpiece.
You're sort of expecting, what's that? Oh, no. Who sang in Wham?
George Michael.
George Michael.
Or Andrew Ridgeley.
Who did that great, who did that great duet with him? Was it Freddie Mercury? And he sort of came out.
I don't think Mercury and Michael did it.
No. Oh, never mind. I can just imagine somebody else coming in and singing instead of me, like the woman who sings.
Do you mean Barcelona? That was Freddie Mercury and... No.
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
What's that? Who's that with?
Elton John.
Elton John!
Oh, yes!
Elton John. I imagine like I'm Elton John, and then suddenly the woman who sang on the original before I dirty my feet on it.
Well, really, you need Pete to be standing on the table for it, but listeners, it would affect the sound quality quite adversely.
It really would.
I think so. Yeah.
If only for my loud trousers.
I sort of want to when you're here, I want to say, so Pete, I mean, talk to us. You know, where was the inspiration?
Behind the music,
that? Yeah. Pete Dalton behind the music.
His inspiration is Milli Vanilli's.
I tell you what, a few more songs like that and we'll be forced to do one.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll be taken out of our hands.
You've just set the fire under, I think, the idea of Ramble Cribs on Football Ramble Presents.
Yeah, indeed. Andy, you got the first email.
I do. It's an email from Chris. It says, "Hi, Andy. Read this email out then. Cheers."
There you go. You're part of the gang now.
Wow.
Fantastic.
You said yesterday on the show, didn't you, that you've never read an email out. Why you were close to questioning why you were included in that email jingle.
Mm, yeah.
Well, now you've earned your stripes.
I thought for all this time, I thought I was responsible for Pete overmodulating. but it's not me.
Clearly.
And Chris has proven that. Thank you, Chris.
Nice one, Chrissy.
We've got an email from, I think it's James Kinsella. Charlie, is that right? Or is it Jamies? It's James. Yep. It's James. little dirty giggle from Charlie in the background there. It's James. Hi, Ramblers. To hear my league being mentioned twice in the same week was an absolute delight, and I want to keep the League of Ireland hype train going.
Here we go.
You've always got a second guess, Irish names. That's why I'm for Jim. I mean, it's Jimmy's. I've never heard of it
before.
That's
true.
I support Ireland's best club, Shamrock Rovers, Road, and the recent talk of Branislav Ivanovic breaking the Russian Cup reminded me of an incident involving one of our players 10 years ago. The player in question is club legend Patrick Padjo Flynn. As we were having our league trophy presentation, our captain, Dan Murray, was raising the trophy over his head on the podium while Padjo jumped up and headbutted the trophy, splitting his head open. Rather than getting stitches from the club doctor, he jumped into the crowd with blood gushing down his face, then went clubbing with the players and fans with a mild concussion.
Wow.
Well done, that man.
Flipping heck.
Kind of. Not really.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me.
Mm.
I don't know.
Happy hepatitis time.
I'm the Terry Butcher of title celebrations.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
More like.
Blimey O'Reilly. That's an Irish name. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. An absolute pleasure having your emails. Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now. To mention in the first half, it was nice to see a few fans at Ferencvaros against Juventus.
A few?
Yeah.
A few?
Well, a few thousand.
Many.
Yeah. Well, how many? The stadium's not that big.
It's big enough. I think you're probably looking at
15,000?
About, 12,000, 15,000. I know at the games in Kiev, both the home games of Dynamo Kiev and Shakhtar, they've been getting 20 in. I mean, the Olympiski is absolutely bloody enormous.
Yeah. Pete, I sort of defer to you for a bit of kit chat. Juventus's orange kit with a smattering of blue.
Don't mind it. Don't mind it. Uh-huh. I think people get upset too easily with kits nowadays.
They certainly do.
They should check out my collection of horrible 90s jelly kits.
Was that before or after the pressure washer explosion?
Oh, that was my that was my Russia top.
Please tell me it's all right.
It's all right, yeah, it's fine.
Oh, thank
it's fine.
For
I've
that.
Worn it since. On the field, dirty my boots, scored a goal. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm just pleased that Alvaro Morata managed to score and it wasn't given as offside or something. He scored a hat-trick of disallowed goals last week.
Do you reckon his teammates are calling him Alvaro Morata?
Yes, Andy. I still think that they're doing that, yes.
Thomas Müller doesn't play for Juventus, does he? So maybe not.
Maybe not. Right, gentlemen, let's turn our attention to something very different. Former Premier League players have joined a dementia study. 30 former pros have signed up to a study looking at the early signs of dementia. Of course, the sad news, Sir Bobby Charlton has dementia now has come through. And I think this is a chat that's getting more traction. Research found ex-pros are 3.5 times more likely to die of dementia than the general population. And five of the 1966 squad, England squad, have been diagnosed. Nobby Styles' death only last week. Of course, he suffered from it. And as we mentioned, Sir Bobby Charlton diagnosed this week as well. Jack Charlton as well died in July after suffering from lymphoma and dementia as well. So,
it's
yeah,
stark, isn't it?
It really is quite something. So it's good that there's a bit more of a look into this. Of course, the Finding Jack Charlton documentary is out tomorrow. Something yeah. that, if you've seen the trailer, we're all looking forward to that because it does look great. Such a such a big character, I suppose you would say.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think this is something that's hugely important. I mean, Chris Sutton has done a lot of good work to bring this issue to light. And really, I know the families of a lot of players who've suffered from from dementia, and you know, you think of the family of Jeff Astle. I think they've just they feel they've just not been listened to at all, and the research and like a genuine investment in the game to get underneath the skin of this issue, in terms of time and in terms of taking it seriously, is just not happened, and it's not good enough. And I do kind of wonder if there are a lot of people in the game, or a lot of people at the top of the game, who just don't want the conclusion that perhaps heading is bad for you. And obviously a lot of people as well look at the fact, and they think of even someone like me who's in my early-ish 40s, you think, you know, back to when you played schoolboy football as a kid, and you think, oh well, the balls were like rock and they're not like that anymore. But of course, it's not just the ball,
it's the speed of the ball as well.
Speed of the ball, it's the sort of challenges that are demanded from heading the ball, you know, whether it's competing with goalkeepers or strikers and defenders competing. So this is something that needs to be properly looked into. And look, if the game needs to evolve, the game needs to evolve.
Yeah, exactly. And I do kind of wonder what waivers soccer players have buried in their contracts, you know, the liability kind of insurance kind of situation. It will be in there. Surely any company worth its salt would have that thing that you can't come along 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later and sue that company who have put you into harm's way. Presumably,
you say that, but like football is something that's become a lot more moneyed, but in many ways is quite backwards as a business, isn't it?
I look at kind of like how the NFL players actually it got to sort of like a union level in that they reduced the amount of full contact sessions that were taking place in training. You've got in baseball the Buster Posey rule, meaning that you can't kind of challenge a base. I'm not really sure about baseball, but I know you can't run full pelt into a person who's attending a base. And you know, this goes, I mean, when was it Pele's colleague Hildorado back in the day, Hildorado Bellini?
Yes,
he had CTE, and he obviously passed a little while ago. But this is in every sport, you know, and with people who have who go on to have substance abuse issues, it aggravates that like you won't believe. And these things, you know, Dave Mirra, the BMX star, his brain was just full of protein when he committed suicide, you know. There was a class action suit run by a lot of ex-professional wrestlers who obviously are constantly just knocked over and hit. You know, the famous tale of Chris Benoit, who murdered his child and his wife and himself. And it was all down to roid rage, apparently. But then when they looked at Iskander's head, he just didn't have a brain left. It was because he, you know. You look at some of his moves set, which include like the flying headbutt and stuff like that. But it is just being knocked about consistently,
like Aaron Hernandez.
And it's so you do sort of look at people how people's behaviour change later in life, or even while they're still playing. And as I said, substance abuse it kind of exacerbates that a little bit. But you do sort of think that things can be. You look at how footballers, I'm fairly certain that they don't use blood tests to ascertain whether you've had concussion or not.
Like, and that's the thing, it's all been quite busked in terms of concussion in terms of concussion protocol. Yeah. And we're only really just starting to get there in terms of like really looking after the players in terms of concussion at the moment. And it's only really been a discussion in football probably for the last 2 years in England, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been relatively recent.
Do you not think that things like the professional foul doesn't have a place in the game anymore. Like just wiping out a player because it's just the thing to do. You take your yellow, you rotate the foul, and you've jarred that player's head because frequently you go down like a sack of shit. So like, I just think stuff like that, unnecessary fouls need to be taken out of the game. For me, professional fouls, it's just red for me. It's just crap.
Well, people have suggested that in terms of the flow of the game, but when you bring in something like that,
yeah, well, you're endangering a player's physical presence, physical situation.
Well, we saw that in the game last night with PSG when there was a red card, you know, something like that. Marquinhos had the gall to sort of get angry with the referee for sending him off, you know,
for sending Kimpembe off.
But anyway, yeah, it's a different issue. But yes, it's good that now there is a little bit more of a spotlight on this, as you say, Andy. You know, the family of Jeff Astill and others have been wanting this. So
Frank Worthington,
so hopefully there's a bit of traction. But we are looking forward to the documentary, of course, Finding Jack Charlton, which is out tomorrow. So
it's my football awakening. That
really?
Side. Yeah, that was
in 1990.
Yeah,
right.
Baggio.
Yeah.
From one vocal artist to another. do we know if Jack Charlton actually sung on the Euro 88 song for the Republic of Ireland?
I think he definitely sang it somewhere
in Ireland. Show them what you've got.
Classic. Oh dear. For an Englishman to be held so highly and warmly in the hearts and minds of the Irish people.
Got to get the water to my boys.
Exactly. That is probably his bigger achievement than the World Cup, I'd say.
Getting the water to the boys.
As well. They're all... the
boys need water.
Indeed. Gentlemen, I'd like to finish with something quite lovely. Imogen Papworth-Heidel is a young girl, and she's been encouraging people to do keepy-uppies for charity.
Well, it's all very well. She hasn't seen me do them. I'm terrible at them. Well,
I think she discouraged you.
I can't look at that, Pete.
It's all right, Peter. We need this. Raised over £10,000, one for every UK key worker, of course. And in total, she's got people involved, including Marcus Rashford. I believe Martin Kemp was even involved, Andy, one of your favourites.
Yeah.
They've had over 7 million keepy-uppies, as we call them in this country, for charity. She herself has done 1.12 million of these kiwi uppers.
That's incredible.
Not all in one go. That would be insane. And I thought to myself, what Pete, at a cumulative total of
50. I've done 50 in my lifetime. My entire life, I've done 50 kiwi ups.
Yeah, I don't think I've even got to 100. I think I'm about 87. And that's generous.
Get the ball out. Yeah. Come on.
She did the last 3,000 of her section at Abbey Stadium in Cambridge. So she's been doing, you know, like 6,000 a day or something like that. I was like, that's bloody Nora.
Cristiano would turn his nose up at that, wouldn't he? I mean, I don't think even he'd be able to do that many.
Imagine that. Imagine if you said,
very impressive,
Cristiano, we're going to do, I'll do all 7 million of them. Give us it here. Well, he's done it in half an hour. Do you remember the I think he was a South Korean guy called Mr. Woo, who at one point was the keepy-uppie champion of the world.
Nice.
I think he lived in New Malden in South London. There's a huge...
what a life.
South Korean community, yeah.
it's not that bad, Peter. I think it was him. I remember seeing on Transworld Sport back in the day when you'd see this kind of news. This is where you got your news from, of this kind of stuff. What's Mr. Wu up to? And he did, it was something like, because they wouldn't do it in numbers, of course, they would do it in time for the world champion. And he did something like 18 hours, 25 minutes.
Jeez.
At the end, you just see him and he's keeping it up and he's just slowly like collapsing to the floor and then eventually he goes down.
I think he's still with us. In 2012, he was last sighted.
Mm. Oh, you can hire him out for a fair penny.
Yeah, yeah. He does quite a lot of half-time stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
One of the most impressive things I've ever seen at a football match was at the Maracanã in Rio de Janeiro. And there's a story around this guy. He's a very, very old man who does keep-ups at half-time. And he just sort of like... You just sort of blink and miss it, you know, with people like throwing packets of peanuts around and, you know, Skull Lager being sunk at the Maracanã Stadium and so on. There's a very old man who, I don't know if he's even still alive, but very old guy who in shorts, t-shirt, football boots, would do these keep-ups, kick it left to right, left to right. That's all he'd do. No tricks. And he'd just keep the ball up and he'd walk around the pitch. I was utterly mesmerised to the point of I thought, that ball has to be on a piece of string. There's no way he can keep it that way. But it's not. And I remember reading ages ago, and I've tried to find
Achilles' heel. His Achilles must be absolutely
I think it's one of those things that if he stops doing it, then he crumbles. You know, it's like if marathon runners.
Is my life.
Yeah, if anybody has any info on this old guy who does sort of half-time keep-ups at the American R and presumably other stadiums in that part
of the
world.
It's like a Tour de France cyclist off his head on a pot belge. Just does it for the pot belge. More than the love of the sport.
Maybe. I'm sure I read something about him. There was a story behind it. But
Could be Scott Parker in 40 years' time, couldn't it?
It could well be, Andy. Could well be.
Celebrating. Doing it for Mackie D's.
I know, eh? Celebrating with the FA Cup winner's medal round his neck. Fulham's first major trophy win on display. Oh, dear. Should have ended the show about 10 seconds ago, shouldn't I? Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the Football Ramble today. It's been an absolute pleasure. On tomorrow's show, I'm back, me again, with Jimmy and Lukey. It's going to be a fabulous Friday. Until then, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, listeners. See you tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.